Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. What are we speaking about in this program about unity, about diversity, about, when you think about it, America is like a melting pot. America is a melting pot where nobody's really, except for the First Nation, and they were right here originally, but they were here before anybody else got here. Mm-hmm. First Nation folks, which a lot of people, you know, the First Nation folks, this is what they say. They said, you know, when the white man showed up in America, you know what that was? Says, well, that was the day that we found out we were Indians. I mean, it was their land. Right. It was their land. It wasn't, you know, but people just begin to project and that type of thing. And we're not even going to go there in regards to how that all happened, the Trail of Tears and just broken stuff. Listen, there is, God is just God. But if we repent and make things right, then God will, you know, chart a new course for us. But in that, that the uniqueness about America, because if you think about it, you have people now saying that, well, we don't need to say the Pledge of Allegiance. You have people in city council, well, three of them sits down while five of them stands up when they say the Pledge of Allegiance. And it's like, who are you serving?
Right.
Some schools, you know, are, you know, not doing the Pledge of Allegiance. And it's like, what's the big deal that, you know, if we're so deluded and we're so watered down that we, might not be able to answer how significant that is. And the significance of the Pledge of Allegiance is that's our common cause.
Pledging allegiance.
Pledge allegiance, which is who has allegiance today when you think about it? I mean, marriage, you know, I'm with you forever until I get a new word and all these different things going on, right? And, it's a pledge of allegiance. Well, you're pledging allegiance. And it makes you think about, well, every leader, whether you're the president or a senator or vice president or congressman or governor or new citizen coming in, I mean, you got to pledge allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and to protect her from enemies, foreign and domestic. I mean, this allegiance factor, and you got to renounce all potentates and foreign whatever that was different than. And so the commonality of America was, if you come to America, this is the vision over America. It's a melting pot. The thing about a melting pot is when you melt together, you're one. Mm-hmm. Though we're many, we're one, right? E pluribus unum.
Right.
And it's the opposite of what the enemy's trying to do to the world right now, really. But to America was, though we're one, we're many. The opposite of that. But when you see E pluribus unum, it says, though that we're many, we're one. But what is the one that we are? We're one nation under God. We believe that this Constitution is a law. It's a nation of laws, and that we're guided by that. And so when you start having people say, hey, we need to bring folks in that think that the Constitution is not the right thing to do. You have universities saying that it's outdated. When you have people saying, I don't want to pledge allegiance to it anymore, you're not going to have it much longer. That's just the facts. Unless things turn, you won't have it much longer, because that is it. That's what the pledge. That's why you stand up at the ball game and you put your hand over your heart, because it ties in, believe it or not, with a Constitution, which most folks really don't already know, you know, all about. But understand this: in the Constitution, it prevents a law enforcement officer from just pulling you over for whatever reason they want to, pilfering your pockets and your car and your house and just going through if they don't want to, arresting you without cause, probable cause, to put you, it prevents them from putting you in jail without actually having probable cause and keeping you there without a fair trial. I mean, all these different things, that's the Constitution. Mm-hmm. The very fact that Washington, D.C. exists, I'm talking about the government, is because the Constitution specifically says so in article this and article that and article this. The article says we're going to have a president. The article this says we're going to have a vice president. The article that says there's going to be a Congress. There's going to be a judiciary branch. And so it's written in the Constitution. So if the crew in D.C. is saying that they don't stand for the Constitution, they need to go ahead and just leave, because they're existing in the context of this Constitution that God allowed to stand. But most folks don't even know that. They're going like Article 12 or whatever. That is actually them talking about the Constitution.
Right.
That's what that is. And so in the very First Amendment, of course, is the right for us to be able to do what we're doing right now and talk about Jesus and just share our, viewpoints on the values and the things that are happening, including the Constitution, and for free speech and media. And when somebody says stuff like, hey, we want to put a government employee at every news facility so we can monitor what you're doing, that's a violation of the First Amendment. Or when all your data is being searched without your permission, that's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. When Americans are getting locked up without probable cause and not going to trial, that's a violation of the Constitution. I mean, you think about all these different things that are going on, and it's like, man, what's really going on? And so you hear words. There's little words that are going on right now that, and when you hear these words, they can mean it's a God word or it's not a God word, you know. But it's not automatically a God thing. And this is important because this is the ultimate thing. Because in the end, and I don't know how close we are to the end, there's going to be a one world religion. I mean, everybody's just going to say, this is it. And so there's going to be unity around that. So the word unity, just unity in itself, does not mean that's of God. You know what I'm saying? So so understand, and this is what Jesus said. This is what God said through his son, because Jesus said nothing unless he heard his father say it, the creator of the universe. He says, every kingdom, divided will fall. So the way the enemy begins to cause a kingdom to fall, he begins to divide it. The way he begins to cause a marriage to fall, he begins to divide a husband and wife and a family. Jesus even said, even every family divided will fall. He didn't say my fall. But to say it's not going to fall is to call Jesus a liar. The question is how can we get united around the original intent of God's intent for this nation? How can we get back to that? If not, it's going to fall. Obviously, the land possibly is going to be here if the Yellowstone doesn't remove it. But you know, it doesn't mean that it's going to be like it is now. And so what is going on? Well, some of the buzzwords you're hearing are like unity. Another word you're hearing is tolerance. You know, tolerate. And the thing about it is, you know, is God into unity? Yeah, he's into unity. Christ-centered unity. He wants us to be so unified that when they see us, his church, believers, that they don't know whether they're looking at Jesus or they're looking at you. That's how unified he wants you to be.
United with God.
But does he want darkness to be unified with light? Absolutely not. He doesn't want. As a matter of fact, he says they have no business even dwelling together, which means unity for unity's sake is not of God. But unity in regards to the church, we're talking about a biblical perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Is to unify around Christ-centeredness. What does Jesus say? And is he the Lord of that unified body or that unified denomination or unified effort? And it's important because he's Lord. And so unity itself is not automatically a God word. So people say, you know, we're having this unity meeting. I mean, they have churches called unity that doesn't have to do with God. And so second word that you hear is diversity. Well, understand diversities and how God's created human beings is beautiful. I mean, it's so beautiful. I mean, I love diversity. I'm very eclectic, and I just love the beauty of the bouquet of God's creativeness. But in regards to diversity in gods, no. You know, this is not India. We're not Hindus.
Right.
Having 360 something million gods. That diversity in gods is not what God wants for his church. As a matter of fact, he says there'll only be one God, and above him there's none other. Then he says he's jealous God. So not only does he say, listen, you can only unify with me as God and around me as God and around my son as God, but you don't bring other gods into this unity. There's no such thing as Chrislam and these things going on. And so unity for diversity and unity in regards to our cultures, in regards to, you know, who we are as a people is beautiful. But diversity in gods, that's where the line is drawn. It's like, well, that's, you know, I love you as a person, but we're talking the church here. We're talking the body of Christ. He says no other God. I'm sorry. Yeah, I've got to let you know, man, if you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you know, we're in there, brother. But if you want to deny Jesus as the Son of God and you want to say he's only a prophet and you have to deny that for you able to enter into a loyal Muslim, sorry. There's, you know, and so in the context of that, so diversity, and so what you're seeing is this is the way that the enemy would take down a nation or take down a relationship to begin to bring in other gods, you know, to be able to bring in, just say, you know, let's just unify around what and for what reason and what happened to our original cause and what are we pledging allegiance to in the context of that. So these words do not automatically mean that that they're of God, but yet our tolerance. I mean, tolerance is that is the word. I think that's things right. happening right now is everything's being tolerated except Jews and Christians.
Right.
That's a clue, by the way. That's just like a huge clue. It's like, think about it. If that's a true statement all around the world, it helps you understand, and you're on that side, it helps you understand you're on the wrong side, because why in the world would somebody who's going to lay down their life, who's going to feed you, who's going to pray for you, who's going to minister to you, who's going to give you all these, I mean, Israel's like blessing the whole world with all these things that God's giving them, and but yet everything is against them. And the context of that is like, in regards to the world, you say, wait a minute, I might be on the wrong side here.
Come on.
And this is what Jesus said. He said, wide is the road that leads to what I'm talking about. But narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few find it. So it's not about getting unified with the world. It's about being unified, and it's not about tolerating in the context of the world. We're talking about, you know, unity and buzzwords and tolerance and all these different things taking place, but understanding that just because these words are used by God in his word does not mean it's a standard rubber stamp for it means the same thing everywhere you go.
That's right.
As we were talking about. And one word is tolerance, you know, and you notice how there's very little tolerance in regards to Christians and Jews. And historically it's been that way. But America has been a place that was one nation under God, and understanding the context of that, but still, those that are loyal to Jesus, there tends to be some conflict happening in the world, because to say that you're right is to say they're wrong, and that's difficult for folks. Mm. But tolerance, I mean, you hear that word a lot, you know, that as a matter of, I remember in law enforcement, they would teach, you know, classes on tolerance and diversity and this type of thing. And I remember, we're not going to talk about too many topics, but there was a sheriff who was running for office, and he was talking about, you know, out loud about what he was tolerating and what he was doing. Mm. And so, in the context of it, that what does God say about that? And, you know, this is the Lord. You think about it. The Lord loves people. He loves all people. Mm. Secondly, that when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you repent for your sins, he forgives you of your sins, but you're still flawed. So by his grace and in view of his mercy, you know, he's very tolerant of his children and our journey. I mean, he's very tolerant. But he's not tolerant of sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been almost this whole thing about that, you know, I know it's sin, but, and it's like, but did you read the word? 81% of the people don't read their Bibles at all, pick it up.
Right.
But he's not tolerant of sin. Sin separates us from God. Right. Separates us from conscious sin, we know that God says we're not to do, and we do that knowing he says not to be consciously. It's like consciously crucifying Christ all over again.
Right.
And versus falling into sin, being lured into sin and repenting because you don't want that in your life, versus premeditated complex. And so, but he says very specifically in Revelation chapter 2, he says, I got this against you. And he's talking to the church that you tolerate. I mean, he actually had against his folks, their tolerance. He says, do you tolerate people that are very religious? I'm going to paraphrase this. You're very religious who say they're hearing from me and they're not. And then because of your tolerance of that, they're misleading a lot of my people and they're all going in a very bad place. It's going to end up in a bed of suffering separate from me. That's what he says, right?
Mm-hmm.
Zero tolerance. And so just tolerance. And for tolerance's sake, it's not necessarily of the Lord. But what we should always do is love.
Mm-hmm.
It's just love. You can love someone without approving of what they're doing. But you don't say, well, you can bring all your gods with you. You can bring all your sin with you, and we're going to unify, because this is what Jesus said. You're about to be destroyed.
That's right.
You're about to be divided and destroyed. And as a matter of fact, right now in Stockholm, Sweden, I want you to hear the CBN segment, because this is what our president says. He really likes the model of this nation. And now look what's happening, because this, it's instead of e pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one. Now Sweden is, though we're one, we're many. And watch what happens with that.
When President Obama visited Sweden last year, he expressed his admiration for the Swedish model. And that should make Americans nervous, because a United Nations report says Sweden will be a third world nation in about 15 years, below Libya and Bulgaria. Sweden is a society that believes it is racing into the future, but critics warn that it's racing to the bottom. Welcome to Utopia, also known as Sweden. Sweden has been a laboratory of social experiments. Swedish leaders believe they're building the perfect society. And Sweden has been compared to a couple of nations which also tried to build perfect societies, North Korea and the Soviet Union. If you don't like how Utopia is being built here, you won't be shot like in North Korea, but your life could become very unpleasant very quickly.
Hallå, hallå. Jimmy Fredriksson from Expressen.
Jimmy Fredriksson. Jaha, du.
This is a journalist from one of Sweden's leading tabloids confronting a Swede at his home. The man, a professor, made what he thought were anonymous negative comments on a website about immigrant problems in Sweden. But left-wing hackers helped the newspaper track him down and others like him so that they could be exposed before the whole nation as racist. This man, a manager, was fired because of it. Sweden's leftist establishment and media believe a cornerstone of their perfect society is multiculturalism, large-scale immigration from some of the poorest, most backward nations on Earth. And Swedes who disagree with that plan risk being labeled racist, fascist, even Nazi.
The rules of the game in Sweden is to avoid being hostile to immigration. It's the most important point to prove that you're friendly towards foreigners, you're friendly towards immigration.
Danish journalist Mikael Jolving is author of the book Absolute Sweden.
It's all about whether or not you can be said to be hostile to immigration. Once that is proven, you're out of the game.
It doesn't matter if Sweden's immigration model is failing miserably, if test scores in Swedish schools are plummeting, or if crime in some areas has skyrocketed. Immigrants burned the Stockholm suburb of Husby for over a week last year. Many Jews now live in fear of attacks by Muslim immigrants and are leaving. This former journalist for Swedish radio left last year and returned to her native Somalia. She told Swedish television that Mogadishu was safer than the immigrant suburbs in Stockholm. And forget about an American-style melting pot in which immigrants will someday learn to become Swedish. That's a racist idea, too. Jolving says Swedes are supposed to learn from immigrants and not the other way around.
Assimilation is completely out of the question.
Who says assimilation is completely out of the question?
Everybody in all mainstream political parties and media and platforms would laugh about the word assimilation is a Nazi word in Sweden.
We talked to several journalists who described a Stalinist-style atmosphere in Sweden, in which citizens are now afraid of saying anything that might get them labeled in the media as racist.
They point at you and say, you're a racist. Then you will have no career, no job, you might lose your family.
Swedish journalist Ingrid Karlqvist and Danish journalist Lars Hedegaard run the online newspaper Dispatch International, which covers issues like immigration that the mainstream media in Sweden ignores. But Karlqvist says their plan for a traditional newspaper failed because Swedes were too scared to have the paper delivered to their homes.
Because what if the mailman saw that you had this newspaper? What if your neighbor saw it? Then they might think that you are a racist or that you hate Muslims.
So we thought we could sort of make an impact. We still think we can, but it's tough going.
Dispatch International now hangs on through donations. Sweden has become a nation where some viewpoints are simply too risky to even read.
What wise Swedish parents do nowadays is to advise their kids not to interfere in the public discussion, not to express so-called radical ideas about this or that.
Because why? Why do they advise them?
Because they're afraid. Whether
that,
or not this
their
is...
kids won't get work?
Yeah, it'll harm them.
That is a very bad situation because you live then in a country where you cannot solve any problems. You cannot even mention the problems.
Hedegaard, a Dane, was nearly killed last year in Copenhagen by an immigrant who came to his door and fired a gun at him. Carlqvist, a Swede, has decided to leave Sweden because of the persecution of those who dissent. Sweden is not going to become a third world nation tomorrow, but according to one report, one day it will.
We had a perfectly good country, a rich country, a nice country, and in a few years' time, that country will be gone.
Dale Hurd, CBN News, reporting.
So think Sweden. About the melting pot. Mm. I mean, this is what our president said. He thinks this is a great model. When you look at all the things we talked about, and, you know, organizing America, the Alinsky methodologies of doing that, and the things that we talked about, which you probably have a related link, you can find out about it, VFN Torch, that when, what is the melting pot? What actually happens? Well, you're seeing now, when people would come to America, they would assimilate to the American way of life. They would mm-hmm. become loyal. They have become a citizen. You have to say, I do solemnly swear and affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true fruit and allegiance to the same. And so, but this contradiction is saying if we keep on bringing in diversity who says we're not going to be loyal to the Constitution, we're not going to be loyal to the founding reasons, but the model is, you know, though we're one, we're many. Jesus said, the end of that is destruction. Your nation will not stand. Your relationship will not stand. And what they said is that Sweden, which is a once wealthy nation, possibly in 15 years will be a third world country because of the very model that we're walking out right now in our own nation. It's not wrong for you to be loyal to the original tenet of our nation. It's not wrong for us to say, you know, I'm loyal to God, one nation under God. That's who we are. It's not wrong for you to stand up and say, I pledge allegiance at the ball game in the classroom, because you have to do that to become an American citizen. And our president, our vice president, our Congress, our senators, our governors, our military, everybody takes this same oath. And it's time for us to say, you know what? We want to assimilate in loyalty to America. It's not wrong to be loyal to America. This day of soldiers killing soldiers and being divided and citizens against citizens and being against the Constitution, we've got to turn back and say, you know what? It's not wrong to assimilate to the intent and the purposes of this nation. A melting pot for one purpose, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say, you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore.
That's for God and country in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsors and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.